What the World Needs Now with hosts Tom Wisenand and Josh Monroe. We hope you're able to leave feeling encouraged and ready for another day of changing lives in the field of education as we speak with inspirational teachers from across the nation and world about what keeps their spark lit.
We have had an amazing bunch of weeks. We've talked to 7 amazing educators. In this week's episode, we talk about what we loved about each and every one of them. Hopefully you learned something along the way. See what your favorite moments are now.
Tom, man, this is fun. What are we in? 7 episodes deep?
7. We've done 7 incredible educators.
And man, if you think to where we were, it was a little bit over a year ago when we started doing the Science Ambassadors for Millard and where we really connected. And then we got together and started thinking about things that we could do for education. Did your mind ever go this way? Did you ever think that we would reach the people that we've reached? Because there have been some amazing guests on, and I think it was our Linda that talked about this huge faculty meeting. And to me, it's pretty special that this is happening.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely one of the coolest things in my life that professionally, personally, that I've ever done. The people that we get to talk to, the amazing educators, the stories that we get to hear, the inspiration that they bring each and every week has been absolutely unbelievable. I never in a million years thought that we'd get to talk to people from all over the world, get to hear their perspectives. And I've absolutely loved each and every guest and what they've brought to the table. You know, what's been some of your favorites?
Man, through 7, like you said, 7 absolutely amazing educators. I think we started episode 1 with Paul. I've been talking to Paul for a long time, a couple of years on Twitter, and he is inspirational in everything he does. I think that being a student in his classroom would be absolutely phenomenal. The things that he talks about, the way that he advocates for kids, I would love to be a student in his class. And I know he's not in the classroom right now, but you can hear it in his voice. If you go back to our episode, the way that he loves it. And
he loves it. And you hit the nail on the head, and he loves it, and his kids love it. And I tell you what, one of the coolest things that I did with Paul's, the stuff I learned from Paul, was I went back to my school and said, hey, I said, I got to talk with this guy by the name of Paul Solers. And you know what he does with his kids towards the end of the year after they've done, you know, taught how to do math, how to do reading, how to do school? They said, what, Mr. Wiz, what does he do? And I said, you know what? He sets them free. I said, he sits back and he watches and he lets the kids run the day. And of course, the kids at my school were like, yeah, let's do that. We can do that. I know we can handle it. And I was like, well, maybe. You got to show me, though. We got to have these little building blocks along the way. And you have to show me how independent you can be, how you can conflict resolve. And so I just, man, I would love to be a student in his class, too, because I think that intrinsic motivation that is just born from the activities and what he brings would be phenomenal in 4th and 5th grade, like he said he was teaching.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, when you think about the title of our show, What the World Needs Now, that is what it needs. We need to teach kids how to, I mean, he taught 4th grade, but at 4th grade, how to be able to lead other people. He is giving those kids what the world needs in every aspect. And then we had Lynn on, and you knew Lynn before I did, but man, when we sat down that Tuesday night, I went to school the next day totally pumped. I was like, man, I'm not just going to make it through this week. I'm going to make it through the rest of this month. The things that she's doing in her physical education class, the way that she's bringing in different cultures, that was awesome too.
She brings in the whole school. It's not just her class in isolation and physical education. It is her and other teachers teaching these students. I also, Josh, I loved how she uses humor in class. She brought that up, but I think that's so, it's what the world needs now too, is humor. I think sometimes as teachers, as educators, we take our business seriously. And we should. We should. But, man, it sure helps if there's a little bit of brevity, a little bit of humor, right? You use humor in your class.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I loved I'm not going to remember the story exactly, but she was talking about how they were outside and the counselor was with them. And she's like, so, well, I guess I get to pick who's going to stay outside. And she has that relationship, though. And I think she touched on that in everything that she was saying, that you want to have this humor with kids. You have to have that relationship with them, that they know that you really care about them, that I can play with you like that. And I thought that was really cool, too.
Yeah, no, she's an absolute gem. And she had a cat cameo. Her cat came across the table, which was absolutely amazing, right? I think we're all stuck in Zoom world at school and we're doing remote learning, and why not have an animal in the mix, right?
Right. I liked that too. And up there in Vermont, the cat walking across, the Wi-Fi going out every once in a while. It's just a real conversation. And I think that's what I liked the most, is it wasn't this professional talk. It was just educators getting together and talking about, hey, what works with you and how can I fit that into what I'm doing?
Yeah. I think over the course of this whole seven weeks, seven educators, that's something I've really come to value, is each and every one of the individuals that we got to interact with was so genuine and so authentic. And I think that's something that really resonates with kids, with school communities, is the authenticity of individuals. And I absolutely loved it. And when we got to talk to Whitney, she was another really authentic, grounded individual, and she's a professional school counselor. And her passion and just love of making people be their best selves was amazing.
And she touched on in her episode about the struggles of virtual learning and the kindergartners, and how they thought she wasn't real until she popped into their Zoom. And I think she touched on some really important parts that are happening in education right now, is some of our students don't see us as real people because we're not there with them, even though we are there with them. And she hit on some great ways to help build that connection and help bridge that gap between a virtual classroom and still building those authentic relationships.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that I took away was some of the last things she said was perspective. And it's not a work-life balance, it's a life-work balance. And you have to live, you have to be who you are first. And I think, man, it's been so tough. It's been so tough. We've done so much this last year. And it really struck a chord with me, was that idea of perspective and finding that life-work balance. You know, Josh, that's really tough as teachers in today's world, I think.
It's really hard. I don't know what Thanksgiving break looked like for you, but after her episode, that was the first break I've really taken to just enjoy my life. I didn't worry about work. I made sure that I had everything done leading up to it. And then I took that time and I spent it with family. And I went back the next week. I was a different person. It was amazing to be able to hear her say that and actually be able to digest it in a time that I needed. Because then I was not just a better father, a better husband, I was a better teacher.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated her words as well.
She was a heck of a singer too.
Yeah, she was. American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
They better be calling her.
Watch out. Whitney will be on there.
What did she say? Did she say a B+?
I think she's a tough on herself.
Yeah, I'd give her an A.
Yeah, definitely. Straight A, for sure.
And then we were blessed to be able to speak with our Linda. Mm. She's doing amazing things too. We went down to the South here for a couple episodes, and we had our Linda and Woodrow, and the things that both of them are doing in their classroom are absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah. Arlinda's really, really something. She teaches those young kids, and she just really pours her whole being into it. And she's just a very, very special teacher. I think she's one of those teachers, Josh, that you have for a year, but they're with you for life.
And listening to her story about how it just took that one teacher to believe in her as a person, not a student, not as a scholar, but just as a person, and how that changed her whole life, and how then she was able to go on and do all of the amazing things that she's doing. It really, going back to what Whitney said about perspective, it really put things into perspective about how we need to approach our job every day, is that we approach our students as people first, and making sure that we're working to change their lives as people first, and make them better people.
Yeah. To have her experiences and go to school and be done early and read Plato and Socrates and understand the profound lesson that we're preparing kids for life. But that, I love this. I love the phrase inherit society, and that's what we're preparing them to do. And what do we want them to do? Inherit a rich society, and we need to send them out with like that blessing of, you're going to inherit society. We want you to be ready for it. That was just really, really incredible. And that changed how I practice a little bit in my classroom. You know, it's not just a social emotional lesson. It's a lesson to help you inherit society, so that some of the breakdowns that we see, the arguing, the yelling, the back and forth on social media, hopefully is less dramatic and less inflammatory.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I do my lesson planning, I just do it in a normal notebook. So like what your kids might have is what I use. But I write that at the top now. I put the date. So I'll put, what's today, the 22nd. So I'll put 12/22/20. I'll put that it's Tuesday. But then right underneath that, I put, are kids ready to inherit society? Because I think what she said has to be something that we're thinking about. And you're right on. And companies are talking about your students, your people, your learners. They do not have to know everything about algebra 2. They don't know everything about chemistry, but can they handle people? Can they handle conflicts? Can they do this, this, and the other with people? And so when I heard that quote, I was just blown away. And I was like, what a great way to take this huge concept and fit it into one sentence.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, she was really something else. And then the next week we had Woodrow Price, and that guy, I have not heard, and I'm sure there's stories like his out there, where you're told you won't amount to anything. You cannot do this. You will not do this. And to experience adversity like he did, and then to turn out to be the amazing educator and community builder that he is, it's just a testament to him. My God, that was really incredible, Josh.
And the way that he's bringing in community into the school, with the haircuts, with Real Men Read, I thought that was awesome, especially when he describes his community and how a lot of his students are missing male role models, and he's bringing them in and saying, hey, here's some people that you can look up to. He's seeing the needs of his students and he's meeting them.
You know, he said kids wouldn't come to school because they had dirty clothes. They were ashamed. They didn't want their peers to see them with dirty clothes, Josh. And I totally understand that. And then he went out and got washers and dryers for his school so that the students could do their laundry, or staff could do the laundry at school, so that they didn't have to deal with that as a reason not to come to school. I thought, that is seeing a problem, addressing it, bringing in the community to help you solve an issue at school. Incredible, incredible work that he's doing.
It's really mind-blowing. It's almost hard to, I'll say it was hard at the time when we were listening to him to take all of what he's saying that he does. It was hard to take it in.
Yeah.
And to listen to how passionate he is about it, because we asked him the question, you know, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling in that dip, what do you do? And he's like, I think about my kids. I'm like, damn. Yeah.
Right? Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing all of this, and on your hardest days, all you do is you think about a kid, and bam, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, his story from when he was a kid to now, and everything that he's doing, he is a world changer. You think about making the world a better place than when we came into it. He's doing it.
You know, Josh, he is. He is. And what would the world be without a Woodrow Price? Or an Arlinda Davis, or a Lynn Porter, or a Paul Solars, or a Whitney. I can't fathom the fact that there are some educators that I hope aren't doing that anymore, but I'm sure are turning students off to education. And I thank God that Woodrow was able to overcome that adversity, and then not just overcome it, but become a champion for the students that he works with, just like all these other amazing teachers that we've had time to been fortunate enough to spend time with, you know.
Seventh week, we were able to speak with Jen McNally, who's not a teacher in the sense, but she really is. She's doing what those other educators are doing, but she's doing them for us. She's doing them for teachers. She's making sure that our mental health is put in the forefront of people's mind, and making sure that we're thinking about ourselves. Because when you've got people like Woodrow, like Whitney, like Arlinda, like Paul, like Lynn, you've got all of these people that are pouring their heart and soul into it, we have to make sure that we take time to take care of ourselves.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. You know, she said, look for details, pay attention to the little things. And that really changed how I go into my days. I look for the little things. If a student's having a rough time, and I try to steer them to the positives that they've done. Hey, I get you didn't want to do this math problem. I get that you don't think you understand, but man, you really knocked it out of the park on these last three math problems, or in social studies, you knew every single answer, man. So I get this is a little bit tough, but look at these other details along the way that you're doing good work. You know, let's turn around. Let's keep going. And that changed how I then view those difficult times. It wasn't so much it's a man, you've done a great job, you know?
Yeah. And she mentioned looking in the rearview mirror, and at the time it feels discombobulated. It feels goofy. But then when you look back, it just looks like a smooth road, and you think about all the growth that you've made and how that can change your mindset.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that the thing that I took away from her the most wasn't anything she actually said, but it was the fact that that's the only episode we recorded on a Saturday. And it was because she doesn't do anything after work hours. That's for family. Mm-hmm. And so it's not her just saying this stuff, but she's walking the walk.
Yeah.
And that helped me after that episode too, to make sure that, you know, Tuesday night I get home from work, or Friday night, or any night after work, I'm making sure that when I get home, my work's going to the side, and I'm going to be there for my family, and I'm going to be there for myself. And I'm going to make sure that my work will be there the next day, I guess. Long story short, my work's still going to be there. But I want to make sure that I'm spending time with my family. I'm spending time filling my bucket in ways that are going to not just help me professionally, but help me as a human.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that Jen spoke not only to teachers, but also to administrators. And I think that as teachers, we need to value that. And we need to understand that, yeah, man, it's tough. It is tough for teachers. It is really difficult to do asynchronous and synchronous and all these other Zooms and Google Meets and all these other softwares that we just learned, right? Programs and apps. But I think, you know, she touched on administrators and how they need to take care of themselves as well. And I think that's really huge that we as teachers understand that, yeah, it's tough for us, but it's also difficult for the administrators who are supervising us as teachers, you know?
Yeah. And then for our final episode of the season, we got Dr. Zeisner, our north of the border Canadian friend.
That's right.
Who came and, man, she's full of energy.
I could have talked to her for hours and hours and just let all the knowledge and experience just kind of wash over me, you know? She was full of good stuff, full of good stuff.
What was fun for me is that she's big on TikTok with me. And so I get to watch her videos on there and I get to see these different scenarios that she plays out, but actually sitting down and talking with her and seeing, I know that you make these 1 minute videos, but those videos that you make, you practice it too. And I think that that's really cool when we get to see these things on different platforms and then listen to how it's incorporated into a classroom. She's doing some great things.
She is. And the passion, that's something that really struck me about each and every person that we've been blessed to talk with is the passion. And I'm sure you could hear it through the podcast and you could see it on YouTube. But I am just in awe of the passion that each and every one of these educators brings every day, I'm sure, to their classroom, to their lives. You could tell that she lived life to the fullest. She was absolutely on fire for education. And I really love that. And I think as an educational leader, a professor or an administrator, people notice. They notice your energy. They notice what you're passionate about. They know how you handle yourself. And she really was a no nonsense, just here it is kind of individual. And I think that's really refreshing in education, to be honest.
Yeah. And it was awesome. It was awesome to listen to her talk about how much she loves her staff, how much she loves her students and all that she's doing to be there, because I'm not an administrator, so I don't know everything that goes into her job or into a principal or a superintendent's job, but the way that she talked about making sure that she's walking through every classroom every day and spending time, because for me, that's things that I notice. When my principal walks in to talk to my kids, to talk to me, whether it's an observation or just to check on me, those are things that I notice, and it makes me want to work harder for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also love that she addressed, I think, the issue of being upset or overstimulated, but really, like, you have 24 hours to be frustrated, upset, angry, whatever. 24 hours. Let yourself have the emotion. Take a meta moment and explore that emotion, but only for 24 hours. And then you're going to pick yourself up and you're going to move on. And you're not going to wallow. You're not going to waste time in the what ifs or the how comes. We're going to experience it and go on. And I think that was really refreshing. We expect that out of our students. Successful people do that. And I think that was really great to hear. I think sometimes we, especially when we get into a year like we've had, it's easy to sit there and say, oh, I'm overwhelmed. But okay, experience that. And then let's move on. So Josh, we've had 7 amazing, amazing out of this world educators. Where do we go from here? What's next?
Man, I'm pumped. I'm pumped for what we have, and I don't want to give too much away, just enough, but not too much. We've got some great people coming on. We've got some educators that have had their foot in policies all over the world. People that are leading school districts, people that are getting ready to go into education for a career. I think that season 2 is going to blow our minds as well.
I'm so pumped too. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. At the start of the year, the very first episode you and I ever did, at the end of it, we said, what does the world need now? And I said empathy, and you said
inspiration.
Has that changed? Do you have a new word? What does the world need now? We've had seven amazing, amazing educators. What does the world need now, according to Josh Monroe?
Oh, I think it has changed a little bit. And I want to, I still think that we need inspiration. I loved yours of empathy. I wanted to change once you talked about that. I'm gonna go a different route. I'm gonna say passion. And I think that we've got to find what we're passionate about. Because what I've taken away from listening to all these educators, they're changing the world, but they're doing it because they're passionate about it. And I think that if we can find our passion, we're going to make the world a better place. We're going to give the world what it needs because we're putting our heart into it. We're putting our soul. We're giving everything that we love to the world when we're passionate. What about you? Has it changed? Is it still empathy? Because I thought that was a great way to start it.
You dirty, dirty dog. You stole mine. The same thing. I say passionate educators. It's what the world needs now. Every single one of these guests, like I said before, the passion just came through in heaps. And I think you're right. I think if the world had passionate educators that love their job, that could go out and, like you said, change the world. Like, these educators are changing the world. They're inspiring their students. They're building connections with their students. They have the relationships. They're modeling lifelong learning for their students. All of these traits that make amazing human beings, these teachers are instilling in their students, the people they work with, because of their passion. So I think that's incredible. Just over seven episodes with teachers that you and I have come to realize that passion really is what the world of education needs, Josh. I think that's incredible.
And I think it's fun that both of us changed our answer. We're lifelong learners too. We're taking everything that all of these people are telling us, and it's helping to shape what we want to do in our classrooms. And I think that as reflective educators, that's what we got to do, is we got to be able to listen, digest, and change our thinking a little bit. Not saying that empathy or that inspiration isn't what the world needs, but just being able to take everything we knew, what we've learned, and forming some new understanding is a little bit of what the world needs.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in this week. Hopefully you're ready for another week of changing lives. We are so thankful and appreciative that you took time to listen to us recap the amazing season that we had.
We hope as you head out that you remember how amazing you are and what a great time we've had with you over the last few weeks. We hope that you've learned something and that you continue to reflect on your practice as a professional. Remember, you change lives each and every day. You matter. And thanks for listening. Have a good one.